Today with Joseph Prince.
God loved us so much, He sent us His Son, His only begotten Son. Amen. Like at the cross, the only begotten became the forgotten one. Amen. So that God will never leave you nor forsake you, nor forget you. Amen. Jesus says, if you come to me and drink, out of your belly shall flow. The very area where you're always craving, 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 and never satisfied, that area will be so satisfied. It will flow with rivers of living water. Let me tell you something about flow. A vessel cannot flow until it is filled and pouring over. Remember this, it cannot flow until it is what? Have you ever washed your mug before and then you left the tap running and you attended to something else? And once it's full, what happens? It overflows. So God wants us overflowing. You see, it's not just about us. It's to be a blessing to others. Well is for us, for our own consumption. A well in those days is the family's consumption. It's a private possession. But rivers are for the benefit of others. At least two or three persons around you, okay? Praise the Lord. Just tell them, glad to meet you. If you have never met them before, if you have met them before, just tell them, you look like my father-in-law or... But tell them this, something good is going to happen to you. Okay, amen? In the service, praise God. Hallelujah. Every time we come to God's house, there is a verse in the book of Ezekiel talking about the future temple. There will be a future temple. The Bible talks about it, the temple of Ezekiel. It tells us that those who come from the north entrance will leave through the south entrance. Those that come from the other entrance will go on the opposite, go out and exit the opposite direction. And you're wondering, why did God tell them that? Why not just go out and exit the same way? Well, besides the practical reasons, I think God is telling us that when you go into His presence, you never leave the same. Yes. Amen? Yes. So when you come to God's house, always remember, it's not the building, it is the many-membered body of Christ. When we come together, there's a corporate anointing that is not present when we are alone. Amen? Amen? But this corporate anointing is going to help you receive so much easier. Amen. Amen. And receiving is what it's all about. In the Christian life, it's all about receiving. When Jesus gave us the analogy, I am the vine, you are the branches, what He's telling us, your part is to receive. The branch can only receive. The branch is not the producing part. Amen? It is not the source of its fruit. It is not the power of the fruit. It is the bearing part of the fruit. It's the receiving part and the manifested part. People see the blessings of God in our lives, but the source is outside this earth. Can I have a good amen? When God made man, God made man and God put man in the garden. God felt like man, you know, even all the heavens that He has created, all the entire beautiful universe that He has made, God felt like it's not good enough for man. So God concentrated all His creative wisdom in creating paradise, a certain location on earth, where from there man would rule the universe. That was God's dream for man. But God gave man this beautiful place called paradise where everything has been provided for. Do you know that Adam and Eve, their first day was a rest day? Wow. Their first day was a rest day. Think about it. Today we have violated this principle. We think that we are human doings. When God makes us human beings, we are created to receive. We are created to enjoy the finished work. Yes. So Adam and Eve was made to enjoy the finished work. Amen. God made everything Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and the first day, the Bible says, second day, third day. God made everything for man, and on the sixth day, the Bible says, God made man. When God made man, every previous day, after He had created something, He would step back and say, it's good. Yeah. Wow. Amen? And God saw that it was good. And God saw that it was good. When it came to man, God looked back and God said, it was very good. Wow. Very good. Amen. So amen. Man is a crowning accomplishment of God. Why? Because God made man in His image. Amen. And God gave man something that he did not give the other creation, and that is man has a soul that will live forever. Man has a soul that will live forever. God breathed into man, and man became a living soul, the Bible says. Besides that, he was just like a mannequin. You know, God made him from the dust of the ground. He was lifeless. He could not move. And then God breathed into man. So that part of man, that the breath of God is forever. That's why, even if someone dies and they are not saved, they are not, they have not put their trust in Christ, their sins are not forgiven, we know that outside this life, there is judgment. There is judgment. And there's a place that God has to house the spirit of man that is eternal. Man cannot enter heaven because once you have fallen, the whole harmony of heaven is against you. In fact, you cannot enjoy heaven in an unrenewed spirit. Your spirit must be born again, right? So anyway, back to this again. God put man in a perfect environment. Finished work. There's nothing for him to do. In fact, the only commandment that God gave man was not to do. Don't eat. Don't eat from the tree of knowledge. All the trees in the garden you can eat. And imagine the different varieties, the varied species, you know, and food that today is even extinct, like the animals, you know, because of the fall of man. God made your tongue with different taste buds. Think of it. God could have given you one taste and you wouldn't know. You wouldn't complain because you never know what it is to have salt or salty or bitter or sweet or umami. Now they have umami. All right, so God gave us variety because God wants us to enjoy everything that he has. So man's first day was a rest day. And a rest day is the first mention of holiness in the Bible. And God set aside Sabbath. Sabbath was long before the Ten Commandments. And God set aside Sabbath, and God says God rested on the seventh day, not because God was tired, but because God was finished with his work. And the Bible says God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. The word sanctify is made it holy. So the very first mention of holiness in the Bible has got to do with rest. And I think the principle is still the same today. When we learn to rest, then only can we be holy. Amen. And there's no point trying to be holy in a spirit that is restless, in a spirit that is full of labor, in a spirit that is self-driven and full of stress and, you know, being distressed with everything that you see around you. God wants you at rest. Amen. Can I have a good amen? So man's first day was to enjoy rest, amen. To enjoy his love and his favor.
Amen.
But alas, the story doesn't end there. Man fell. Man sinned against God. It's like man was in a perfect environment where everything was speaking of God's goodness. All the evidences was around him, and yet he sinned against God. Whereas when Jesus came and he was tested or tempted in the wilderness, everything in the wilderness speaks of as if God doesn't care for you. As if, you know, there's no provision there, nothing to testify of his provision and his supply and his goodness. Yet Jesus obeyed.
Yeah. Amen.
All right? Adam sinned in a perfect environment. Jesus obeyed in an environment that was contrary to everything that was good. So here we have a beautiful story and contrast of the first Adam and the last Adam. Man fell, and as a result, you know, everything fell with man. I was speaking to a young person the other day, and he asked me about, you know, about prosperity and things like that. And he was concerned. Of course, he's been hearing from other places about the prosperity gospel and all that. Very precious guy. He reminded me of myself when I was that age, and I asked a lot of questions. You see, the thing, the question about prosperity and all that is redundant the moment you see God's original plan. If God wanted poverty, there will be a segment of poverty in paradise. In the Garden of Eden, there will be some poverty. If there was God's will. And again, not just how it began, how it all ends. In heaven, we are walking on streets of gold.
Yeah.
Amen? We are walking on streets of gold. God could have at least not do that. God could have at least made it still tar that man walked on, asphalt, right? God could have still done that for heaven, but God didn't. And by the way, it's not paved. That's the language of man. It's not paved with gold. It is gold, literally all the way down. It is gold. Amen. Amen? I mean, why would God do that? Doesn't God, I mean, isn't God concerned about being accused as a prosperity God? But I am not for the kind of prosperity that is just enriching oneself, greedy, covetous. Amen? I'm talking about God prospers you so that you can be a blessing to many. Amen. Have you noticed that poor people cannot bless poor people? Amen? In countries, if you travel around, in those countries that are where abject poverty is their lifestyle. Amen? It's not a life that you can just go to a food court and just order food. I mean, they have to scrap for food. Many of them, they give up their daughters for prostitution at the age of 12, 13. You know, that's what poverty does. Poverty is not holy. Neither is prosperity. But you cannot tell me that God doesn't want to supply His people. Amen. All right? We are not to be greedy. Money is a good servant, but a lousy master. Amen. Amen. Let's use money, love God and people. Amen. Never love money and use people. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. So after man fell, guess what? The very area of his life that craves everything good in the Garden of Eden, and I think symbolic of all God's goodness is his stomach. God provided everything for him. But now he made a God out of his belly. The Bible says, whose God is their belly. You find this in Philippians, right? Today, man glory in their shame. Something shameful, but they glory in it. They boast about it. And today, their God is their belly. In other words, they live according to their appetites. Now that they are driven from paradise, fallen away from God, man lust. He lusts for what he cannot have. He makes his appetite, his lust, his primary concern for its fulfillment. Amen. Doesn't matter who gets hurt along the way, that is what man does. And actually, all of man's creation, invention, we talk about the latest iPhone, the latest smartphone, the latest whatever it is, for example, okay? But you think about it, why do we need inventions? Why do we need inventions? Because man has fallen. It's a sign of the fall. We invent new things, but like the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, God made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. The very fact that we are seeking many inventions tells us that we have fallen. Amen. Everything was provided for. So we have to find invention. And then when we find an invention, we need to have another invention to maintain the previous invention that we invented. Now we need the invention to invent something we need a new invention to maintain the invention that we previously invented. So it's a constant series of inventing and selling. And a lot of people are making money out of the majority, and the majority always feel like they're being advertised to, marketed, that they need this product, and it's all a sign of the fall. I'm not saying they are bad. I'm just saying this is the world that we live in. And I'm just telling you that man is fallen. Yep. You know, and we are glorying in our shame. The Bible says whose end is destruction, but God came into all this and God sent His Son. Amen. God loved us so much, He sent us His Son. Amen. His only begotten Son. One Sunday school boy actually stood up to recite his memory verse from John 3:16. He forgot his memory verse, one part, and he says, God gave us His only forgotten Son. All right? So when you think about it, He's not far from wrong. Amen? Like at the cross, the only begotten became the forgotten one. Amen? So that God will never leave you nor forsake you, nor forget you. Amen? Praise the Lord. But thank God Jesus came. Today we are born again. And the very area where it's a symbolic area for our cravings, our appetites that cannot be fulfilled, on the last day, Hoshana Rabbah, the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Bible says in John 7, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers. Out of his what? Belly. Now, some new translations try to change it to a heart. It is not the word heart. The word heart in Greek is cardia. It is the word belly, literally belly. There's the place, the seat of your cravings and your appetites, your lust. Amen. Predominantly for food, but man is crying out for more than food. Out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. That means what? The very area of craving is now satisfied. Rivers of living water. All right, Jesus says, if you come to me and drink, out of your belly shall flow. The very area where you're always craving, 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 and never satisfied, that area will be so satisfied. It will flow with rivers of living water. Let me tell you something about flow. A vessel cannot flow until it is filled and pouring over. Remember this, it cannot flow until it is what? Have you ever washed your mug before and then you left the tap running and you attended to something else? And once it's full, what happens? It overflows. Amen? Praise God. And it's very clean, isn't it? The mug. When it overflows. So God wants us overflowing. You see, it's not just about us. It's to be a blessing to others. Well is for us, for our own consumption. A well in those days is the family's consumption. It's a private possession. But rivers are for the benefit of others. Oh, amen? You know, God made man with eternity in his heart. We have this verse here, look, Ecclesiastes 3. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Like a beautiful song says, in his time, he makes all things beautiful in his time. Lord, my life to you I bring. May each song I have to sing be to you a lovely thing in your time. So if you're waiting for something and it seems to be delayed, trust me, God is making it beautiful in his time. There is a timing, amen? And again, time came in because, listen, time came in. God wants to teach us also that when we partake of the communion, for example, we expect instantaneous manifestation of healing, right? But there is a timing. And that timing, God wants to spend time with him. And that's why communion is such a wonderful thing. Daily communion especially. As you come to the Lord, you know, you come to the Lord, but you're thinking of my need. I need the healing to manifest in this area. But all the while, God is loving the fact that you come to him. I love my son, Justin. And you know what I love most of all? Just being with him. He doesn't have to do anything much for me. He can be talking about things that don't really matter in eternity. He's talking about games and all that, but I just love to look at him, to look at the way he talks, the way he shares, and just being with him. And I love just to hold him. If only he can just be in my presence, amen, come to me. And that is God's heart. God knows that every time they come for communion, you know, he's having that moment with you. That's why it's called communion. Holy communion, right? Amen? So God says this here very clearly. Look at this word here in the Hebrew, very clear. Also, he has put olam, eternity in their hearts. God has put eternity in man's heart. See, man was created for eternity. And that's why he cannot settle for less. Today, man who is created for eternity is trying to satisfy himself and his belly with the passing of things of the earth and time. You cannot be satisfied. You were created for higher. You cannot be satisfied with lower. But when you find abject poverty, people will settle for grass when they are really hungry. But they were not created for grass. You're not supposed to eat grass. I know some of you enjoy eating all kinds of things, you know. If you ask Chinese, going for the all kinds of herbs and worms even is medicinal, right? Amen? You can say amen. I know you do it anyway. But God made you for eternity. You are to be satisfied. Your heart was created for eternity. God put eternity in your hearts. And that's why you cannot be satisfied with the passing things of earth. Hallelujah. Are you with me so far? All right, it's vital we understand this because we understand that God has given us a way for us to be satisfied. Let's go right now to Luke chapter 10. Are you all learning, people? Okay, remember that. Smile at your neighbor and say, we are created for eternity. And by the way, your body was also created for eternity, except the fact that God allowed you to eat from either the tree of life, which means you will live forever in your body, which Adam did not. But instead, he took from the other tree that God told him not to eat from. And that's why the body decays, the body grows old, and people die. Okay? God never meant for people to die. Not even grow old. Not even have disease in their bodies. Amen? Can I have a good amen? So if people ask you the question, you know, your belief that God heals, amen. Right? Just that I was talking to a person the other day, and he asked that you believe that God heals and all that. What about the minority and all that, that don't get healed and all that? I said, I don't worry about the minority. I celebrate those who get healed.
Come on, amen.
Amen. I think we should encourage churches that are preaching healing. We should encourage them to preach even more.
Yeah,
you know, you aim for the star, you might hit the moon. You aim for nothing, you should get 100% results. So those places that don't preach at all that God heals, you know what? They have a ready excuse. When people are sick and all that, the pastor don't have to explain. He don't have to explain the fact that he didn't pursue God in the Word to find whether this is God's provision. Amen. He has a ready excuse. I never preached healing in the first place. So people are sick. Yeah, you know, it's God's will. But the funny thing is that when their child has high fever for a few days or whatever, one of the first things they do is what? They'll bring that child to a doctor. So these are the same ones that preach that God may want you sick for a reason. There are certain exceptions in people's lives, but for their child, it's not an exception. Straight away to the doctor. Something is wrong. Something, I don't want to say it, but it is hypocritical.
Come on. Yep.
Amen? We are believing God for people to be healed, as many as possible. We know that in a Billy Graham crusade, you know, when he preaches Jesus Christ, not everybody walks away saved. But Billy Graham doesn't worry about those few. Amen. He thanked God for those who got saved.
Amen.
Amen. But does that mean that because there are people who walked away unsaved, that it's not God's will for them to be saved? No, God's will is not, God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Amen. So the fact that people are not saved does not mean that's not God's will.
Right.
For whatever reason, different ones may have different reasons for not wanting to receive Christ or believe in Christ, whatever it is. It's not God's will. If God has His way and His will on earth right now, it will again be paradise on earth. So it's obvious that God is not getting His way. Amen. And not because of the animals. And not because of global warming. It's this upright creature that God has made. Amen. All creation is groaning because of man. All creation is suffering because of man's sin, the Bible tells us. And one day, they will again be in perfect harmony. Mosquitoes will not bite. No more dengue, no more 80s. They will sing in symphony. Everything will be back to what God, God made mosquitoes, but God didn't make them to bite. Or even to impart disease. God made animals, but God didn't make them carnivorous. They fell. They fell and became carnivorous. Amen. God made everything not to hurt and destroy. And one day when Jesus returns, the Bible says, even the animal kingdom will change. The wolf and the lamb will lie down together when Jesus is here. And that's why when he was in the wilderness to be tempted, the Bible says, wild beasts were with him. Wild beasts were with him. And they all sat around him. None could touch him. It's back to the presence of the Son. Amen. The wonderful one that created them. By him, Jesus, the Son of God, all things were made. Amen. So, back to this again. See this in this short story. I want you to see something that is God's heart. I've read this so many times. You all know that, in fact, it's my heart message as well. For many of you who have followed me for some time, but I want to see something here that perhaps you might not have seen. At least ask yourself the question, do you really believe this? Okay? Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into a house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. What did she do? She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone. Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. Say one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Now, I've preached on this so many times. It's so familiar with so many of us that we tend to let the familiarity rob us of the reality. If you believe that one thing is needed, why don't you do it? One thing is needed. Do you really believe it? Most Christians, even they know this, right? They know this story. They know what Jesus said. They do not believe it. How do I know that? Because if really they believe it, they would do it. They would do that one thing necessary. So in our minds, even though we have a theory in the forefront of our brains, in the back of our head, that, you know, in that subconscious level, the subterranean level of our brain, what we really believe is that, no, you know, we got to get some things done or else you won't get done. I think this is maybe poetic license or whatever, you know, one thing is needed. I think there's more than one thing. We don't believe Jesus. But Jesus is telling us how rivers of living water will flow out of us. But Pastor Prince, what about service? Martha was serving, but Mary was sitting down listening to Jesus' word. Listen, you don't have to worry about service. You don't have to worry about powerful ministry and all that. It will all happen when rivers of living water flow out of you. But what Jesus wants from you, what the Lord wants from you every day, and what the Lord wants from us is just to be in His presence, amen, come to Him, not come to a church, not come to an organization or denomination or whatever, come to Him, come to me, and drink. You read that just now, right? John 7, come to me and what? Drink. Not even draw, pastors and leaders, He's not even telling us to draw. You know, draw, you can actually draw water for others and still die of thirst. You're not drinking. So there are pastors who come to the Word, they come to Jesus only when they're preparing a message. Right? You can't do that, pastors. Amen. Because there's no overflow. You're not preaching from the overflow. Amen. You don't have to worry about serving, ministry. You can look down on, literally, on Mary sitting down there. And then you say that, you know what? You know, she's not being practical. There's a lost world out there. I know all this, and the Lord knows all that. But the Lord knows that all these things can be attended with a wrong spirit, a spirit of strife. There is no joy. There is no peace. Amen. Jesus didn't just say, you will go and do witnessing. You will receive power, and you will go and do witnessing. He didn't say that. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be witnesses. Your whole person is a witness. Your life is a witness. Amen. We are to preach the gospel, yes. We are to witness, yes. But more than that, our whole person is a witness. Amen. Like what I shared last week. You know, God wants you to have something of the heavenliness of your Lord Jesus in your life. When people look at you, they sense something heavenly. They sense something princely, like the Prince of Peace. They sense the mean of royalty, not the holier than thou, you know, a snobbish kind of looking down and on people kind of a holiness, but a holiness that's genuine, that's approachable, that is real, and yet something so royal and regal. Amen. You shall be witnesses. Amen. Can I have a good amen? Amen? Amen. So the very place that is known for man's craving that cannot be satisfied, Jesus says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. When you do what? Come to me and drink. Come to me and drink. Drink until you are filled. Drink until you are satisfied. Because to be satisfied is really to overflow. It's only when you are full that you overflow. And by the way, the overflow has and the rivers has got nothing to do with the capacity of the vessel. Stop looking at yourself. Is the power of the spring. Wow. Amen. It is not about who you are. It's about who He is. Amen. We have to demonstrate not our poverty. Amen. We have to demonstrate His fullness. Amen. The source of the rivers. The power of the spring. Until everything about us overflows. Amen. Amen. You know, ministry becomes enjoyable when you do that. People ask me, Pastor Prince, you preach without notes. Now, I don't encourage this. It's a gift, okay? But I preach out of the overflow. I've been meditating on the Word. Amen? And you know, it comes out, and it's real. It's real ministry. Can I have a good amen? It is not something put up. Let me memorize this, let me finish this with people, and I'm done. No, it is life. And the Holy Spirit wants to change the direction, He's free to change it. Hallelujah. So I want to just share with you, you don't have to follow the same kind of the laws of homiletics that I do, all right? Okay, but whatever it is, your style, you still need to go to Jesus for the message, right? Amen, pastors and leaders? Amen? Leaders, are you listening? You don't just crack the Bible when it's time for you to share with your group. Amen. And for the rest of you, you cannot live life without these rivers. You will always be pursuing things, you know, people's esteem, people's opinion, because your belly is still craving. It's not satisfied. Many a times we don't realize, we think that it's food. I need food. So we go to the fridge, we open up the fridge and we look around for food. Now, what shall I eat? Because I feel empty inside. And you start eating. And still you're not satisfied. Then you start passing by the fridge again. Now, maybe something else will satisfy. You know, you are created for eternity. Those things won't satisfy. That's why you are, but it's in the area of your belly, right? Isn't it true? Is it the area of your belly? Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. What used to be an area of craving is now satisfied. Amen. Not just in one stream, rivers of what? Living waters. Mahim Hayim in Hebrew, living waters. Oh, hallelujah. It's flowing right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So every day you tell yourself, and I need to attend to my boss demands, okay, because he just yelled at some of our guys and all that for not doing. I need to attend to that, and I need to make sure that this group is motivated. I need to attend to what my wife has asked me to do, some assignments. I need to make sure that I talk to my daughter about this. I need to talk to my son about this. At the end, you feel like you're like, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things because Martha didn't do the one thing. And the one thing is really to occupy yourself with Jesus. When you just, whether it's through hearing a message, I recommend Pastor Prince's message. Because I know what I preach. I know what I preach, okay? I'm not saying that in pride. I just know what I preach. It's safe. Amen? All right, so if you listen to the Word, or if that's your preference, or you prefer to read the Word, or you prefer to have a daily devo and all that, do have that time. But when you do it, just say, Lord Jesus, I come to you right now. Then it becomes a living, vital time of occupying yourself with Christ. And I guarantee you that very day, that doesn't mean you won't have problems, but you will attend to them in the spirit of power. Amen. You have love, joy, and peace. They're so real because it is an overflow. It is not a put up. It's not something that you try to effect. Can I have a good amen? Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We forget that, another thing I'll tell you about the Lord. Can I say this to all of you? I've been trying to say this for the past few weeks. And some people got it, but some people still don't get it. And this goes against the grain of religious Christianity. Okay, a lot of people still think that we are to serve the Lord. Yes. I want to encourage you. In fact, we have many areas of need right now in the church that I want to encourage you to be part of. There's nothing like having God put all these gifts in you and then you use them for His glory. And if something you need to do on Monday, you find it amazing, you step into a Monday that's blessed. Amen. Because God gave you the grace and you use the grace that He first gave you, and now He rewards you for first using the grace He gave you. Amen. You all got that? He gave you the grace first, and then when you use the grace, He rewards you for using the grace that He first gave you. Amen. So there's a reward as well. Amen. And you will find that Monday becomes so beautiful. In fact, you say, I don't have time. Give the Lord time. And you find that all of a sudden, He multiplies time. Whatever you give to Him, the same boat that was in the Lake of Galilee the whole night by experienced fishermen that live there, that knows every nook and corner of the lake, had no fish the entire night. When they gave their boat to Jesus for Jesus to preach in, Jesus stepped into the boat and preached from the... They thought they were serving Jesus. Jesus knew that they needed his anointing, his presence in the boat. Amen. They gave the boat to Jesus. Lost time for the fishermen. And Jesus preached from the boat. And the Bible says right after that, he gave them a net breaking, boat sinking, load of harvest, fishes, blessings, which is practical to the fishermen's need. They need fish. What do you need? It'll be practical to you. But they first gave the boat. Now, same boat. Like we all say, we're all in the same boat. Same boat. Or fellowship in the same ship. That's fellowship it's all about, right? We're all in the same ship. But it's the same boat, yet not the same. It's the same boat they used the whole night, but yet not the same. Why? It's been magnetized. Now all the fish says, see the boat? Hit it. They were there all the time. Even throughout the night, they were there. But because they gave the boat to Jesus, whatever you give to Jesus, you give your youthful years to Jesus, he keeps you young. Amen. You give the strength to Jesus, he gives you strength. Amen. Amen? You give whatever the money to Jesus, he multiplies it. Amen. He doesn't keep the 5 loaves and 2 fish and they remain 5 loaves and 2 fish. No, he multiplies it. Whatever you give him. Amen. Just like, be like Potiphar in that area where Joseph was in the house of Potiphar, and whatever Joseph touched prospered. So Potiphar says, whatever I put into his hands prospers. And the Bible says that Potiphar put everything into Joseph's hands. So this is our heavenly Joseph. What's going to happen? He put everything into his hands. How about putting your health into his hands, your body into his hands? Lord Jesus, I put my body into your nail-pierced hands. What do you think he's going to do with your body? Amen?
Amen.
For the past weeks, God's been telling us that he's not the kind of God that we think he is. In Matthew 20, it says here, Jesus said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Do we really believe this? That he did not come to be served, but to serve. Do we really believe this? Amen. You know, in the argument that Paul made in the book of Hebrews chapter 7 about the superiority of Melchizedek priesthood, Jesus' priesthood today, versus the Levitical priesthood, the priesthood of the law. It says that the argument was that Abraham was the great-grandfather of Levi, from which proceeded the Levitical priesthood. So which is more superior, Melchizedek priesthood or Levitical priesthood? And Paul's argument is amazing. Paul says that your father Abraham, who is the great-grandfather of Levi, gave tithe to Melchizedek. Who you give tithes to shows the superiority of the person. We tithe to the Lord because it shows his superiority in our lives. We don't tithe to become rich. We tithe to show that the Lord is our source. He is our sponsor. Amen. He is the power for us to receive supply and abundance in this life. And we acknowledge that, but the argument is that, notice Abraham gave tithe to Melchizedek, but Levi was in the loins of Abraham when that happened. So Levi gave tithe to Abraham as well, Melchizedek as well, because he was in Abraham. So when you tithe, God sees generations tithing.
Amen.
That's why it affects generations. Amen. Then he comes up with this argument. The very next line, he says this, and without all, Hebrews 7:7, now beyond all contradiction, there's no argument for this. The less is blessed by the better. The less is blessed by the better. You know what it means? That means if you are the one blessing, you are greater than the one blessed. The less is always blessed by the better. The better is not blessed by the less. And that's why when that aged Shimon, Simeon, when he saw baby Jesus and in the arms of Mary and Joseph, and they brought him to the temple to be dedicated, the Bible says he blessed them, Joseph and Mary, but he did not bless the baby. Why? He has need to be blessed by the baby. The baby is greater. The less is blessed by the greater, not the other way around. Are you trying to be the better and make God the lesser? God wants to bless you, But you want to bless him. He says, I did not come to be served. But we need ministry, right, in the church. I'm serving the Lord right now, aren't you? Amen. A lot of whole army is serving the Lord right now behind the scenes. Amen. We thank God for them. Even as I preach, the reason you can sit down here is because there's a whole army serving, ministering to your children and all that. And we are serving, right? But that service must come out of that time of being occupied with Christ. And in that reverse is that service. In that reverse is the real ministry of power. In that river that comes out of us, all kinds of streams, rivers are for others. And your ministry is real.
Amen.
Amen. So the Bible says, the lesser is blessed by the better. So I ask you, are you trying to put God in the place of the lesser and yourself in the place of the better? Now we say, okay, Pastor Prince, you know, we won't think of that. But when you think about God, okay, how it goes against our very thinking. God is a glorious being, right? If I tell you there's a glorious person, what's your first response? I'll tell you what's our first response. We don't realize there's a fallen response. If there's a glorious person, like a king that comes, all right, to your neighborhood or whatever, and you get a chance to meet him, you feel like a glorious person is here, he needs to be served. You don't think that he's here to serve me. Am I right? If it's a glorious person, he is to be served. Can I ask you this question? Why would the Lord, if the Lord is a glorious person, and he is, why would he want to leave heaven to come down to earth to be served by you? When in heaven, he has angels that don't get tired singing hallelujah. Some of you, 5 minutes. Amen? You need an Aaron and her to hold your hands up. Hubby. Pastor Prince is looking. You know, it's like, you know, the Lord comes from a place where those angels don't get sore throats. And when they serve beyond Spider-Man, Iron Man, and all that, those powers still, I mean, even Iron Man cannot hold something for long. Right? He holds, he dies. Jesus can touch anything and that thing dies. And the person lives. The disease dies. The leprosy departs. Heavenly creatures, angels. You know why angels? You know there are angels around us, by the way. When Jesus, would you like to walk like Jesus? He sees angels all the time. He sees heaven on earth all the time. Do you know that Jesus, whenever he talks about the returning prodigal son, what do you say? There's rejoicing in heaven. He sees angels rejoicing. He's always conscious of heaven on earth. When he sees little children, you know what he says? Don't despise these little children. Their angels always behold the face of your Father in heaven. He's conscious. We are not. That's why we are full of fear. We see the armies surrounding us, all the enemies, Satan's armies. We feel as if we're in a world where Satan has all his armies around us. We fail to see beyond the armies. They that are with us is greater than they are that's with the devil. We see ourselves surrounded by all kinds of viruses and strains of viruses and sickness that is about to pounce on you. Instead of looking at Psalms 91, God has given his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Jesus was so conscious of heaven. When he had the little 5 loaves and 2 fish, remember what the disciples said? Andrew brought the boy. And what did Andrew say? This boy is 5 loaves and 2 fish, right? That's not all he said. You know what Andrew said to Jesus? As if Jesus didn't know. What are they among so many? You know, Jesus, we brought him to you because he wants to give it to you. But, you know, just a boy. What are they among so many? He saw the problem, he saw the need, he saw the lack. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the Bible says, by the way, 2 small fish. In the Greek, it's a diminutive term. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He looked up to heaven. He's always conscious of heaven and the abundance, the supply, the resources of heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I look at you and I see angels around you. That's the life I should live. And you should live as well, being conscious of heaven. When I pray for the sick, I feel like one of my hands is taking that brand new heart, the organ, the heart from heaven, and praying for this person who just went for a bypass. And in the name of Jesus, I pray. When I lay hands, it's like I take from heaven, I put it into his heart.
Amen.
I believe there's a real transaction. It's like I pray for your eyes and I take brand new eyes and I put it into your eyes.
Amen.
I pray for that. I'm just a delivery boy. I just pray that into you in amen. Jesus' name. Can I have a good amen?
Amen.
You know, you need new liver. Amen. Your liver is over-fatified. Amen. Super abundance. Beyond exceeding, you know. It's getting very heavy already. So I look up to heaven and I know that God has all kinds of livers that are unclean in heaven, brand new ones. And when I pray for you in Jesus' name, I bring it down right into your body in Jesus' name. That's what I see. I don't have a poverty mentality. If you tell me, oh, you are prosperity gospel, this is prosperity.
Yes.
This is prosperity. When there is a need, you know the supply is there. Can I have a good amen? Amen. You got a hearing problem, I'll pray for you. In the name of Jesus, God has new year drums, new year parts and all that. He's not like run out of all these things.
Amen.
So when Jesus prayed, Jesus looked up to heaven. Guess what happened? The 5 loaves and 2 fish multiplied. By the way, they multiplied in his hands, not in the disciples' hands. The Greek says, as he prayed and he gave it to them, it kept on multiplying in his hands. He's the only one who sees. They didn't see. He sees supply where others see need. God look at David and God sees a king and others just see a shepherd boy that no one wants to spend time with. What does God see when God sees you? Amen? Say, Pastor Prince, you don't understand. You know, the other day I went to buy a wig because hair is falling down and all that. I reach out to heaven and I believe in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Just take it. And the Lord is healing people right now.
Amen.
Right now in Jesus' name. When I pray for, I talked about liver just now. All right, the Lord had me say that if you've got a liver condition, stand to your feet right now. Wherever you are, even in the overflow, you don't have to have my eyes on you. You only have to have the Lord's eyes on you. Stand to your feet in Jesus' name. God wants to give you a brand new liver. Amen? Remove all the fatty parts as well. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Someone who's standing right now, you just stood up and you've just been diagnosed. Some of you have had it for quite some time. And there's someone who's just been diagnosed just this year. And if that is you, just wave your hand. All right, if that's you, just wave your hand. You've just been diagnosed. All right? Or is that just a person that helped me up there as well? Okay. Who is that person? Just this year, over there. Okay. Is there anybody else? Is there over there, sir? You as well? And just been diagnosed. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, in the overflow, remember the Lord's eyes are on you over there as well. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I'm going to pray for you first. For some reason, the Lord says to pray for you first. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you that right now, from the riches of your glory, according, not out of, but according to the riches of your glory, in the name of Jesus, I speak a new liver in their bodies right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. Heal and recreate that liver. Make it a brand new liver, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. The rest of you are standing right now. Receive your healing. Receive your miracle in the name of Jesus. Amen. Somebody with a knee condition on the right knee, you injured your knee. Stand up right now real quick. And if you stand down there, all right, just do a big wave so I can see you. The light is very bright on my eyes. And I need for you, okay, right now, slam your feet as you stand up. In the name of Jesus, just slam your feet. Slam up and down, up and down, up and down. All right, your right one, yep, up and down. In Jesus' name. Who else is having the condition besides that brother over here? All right, I see you moving your when I receive that word from the Lord, I see you moving your foot already. Don't wait for me to pray. Start moving that foot right now in Jesus' name. Move that area of your knee in Jesus' name. If you know the pain is gone, you can tell. This kind of condition, you can tell. Liver, you might not be able to tell straight away, but this kind of thing you can tell, all right? If you know the pain is gone, do a big wave. Those who are standing. Is it gone, sir? All right, real quick, Lawrence, tell. Yep, ask him what happened.
I cracked my knee. Yeah. Crack.
He cracked his knee.
Whoa, when do you crack your knee?
A few weeks back.
And now?
Now completely okay.
Completely okay.
Praise the Lord. Who else? Way up there. If you know the pain is gone, just do a big wave. The pain is gone, do a big wave. All right, anybody else? This among those that are standing. Only those who are standing. Okay, there's one person. Sister, the pain is gone. You injured it through exercise. Cycling. I just received the word exercise. And it's recycling, and now the pain is completely healed. It will not return in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Give Jesus the praise. Hallelujah. Brand new knee. Amen. And in the name of Jesus, I speak a creative miracle, Lord, to the pads of the knees. And I speak a complete restoration, Lord. A brand new knee for all those, Lord, that stood up just now having this condition. Grant them, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Brand new knee, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, what was I talking about? Yeah. So when the Lord looks at people, He sees heaven. He sees the supply. He sees the need. Can I have a good amen, people? And that's why the Bible says, you know, we think in terms of, you know, I need to serve the Lord. That's what Martha saw Jesus. Now, Jesus being human as well, something we forget, that when Jesus came to earth, He's 100% man. He's always 100% God. That He always is. But the part for many of us, I think, is that we forget that He came truly as a man. And that's why it's such a joy and delight for us to think about the fact that today in heaven, God's heart is resting on a man. His heart is satisfied with a man. God has found His joy and delight in this wonderful man. And this man is not there in heaven at the Father's right hand for Himself. He's there for us. So God is pleased with us. God accepts us because our representative is of infinite delight to Him. Amen. As He is, so are we in this world. Amen. What a joy it is. Jesus did not conquer as God. Jesus conquered as man. And that's why His accomplishments and all that is put to man's account. Just like Adam, the first man, caused all mankind to fall. As a result, sickness, disease, death came in. By the way, have you noticed that man has all kinds of invention? There's one invention that man cannot invent. With all the multitudinous inventions that man has, there's one invention that man cannot invent until now. I challenge anyone. He cannot find an invention that can enable him to do away with death. He might prevent death from coming immediately, but it still comes. There is no medicine, there's no invention, there is no smartphone, there's nothing in all the witty inventions of man. You know why? Because it always reminds man, why must man die? And everything about us goes against that. We don't like that because we're not supposed to experience death. God never meant for man to die. In fact, you must understand, God hates death. You know why? God hates sin. And the wages of sin is death. Therefore, you must see that God hates death. And for that matter, since we're on this, you must also see that God hates sickness. Until you know that God hates sickness, you never will feel like God is on your side. You know, you always feel like religious conditioning and all that. You feel like you need to convince God to heal you. Maybe He'll have a soft spot one day for you and He'll heal you. No, that's nonsense. God hates sin. Why? Because sin is contrary to the glory of God, contrary to His plan, His will for your life. Therefore, if God hates sin, what came after sin? Sickness, disease. And after that, death. God hates all this as well. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are y'all learning, people? Okay, I'll bring this to a close. Praise the Lord. Now, we look at Jesus and Martha feel like, oh, Jesus as a man looks tired. Oh, he needs my cooking, my good cooking. After all, I won Master Chef last week, you know, and or whatever, you know, I won Jerusalem Chef, you know, and I make the best pasta, pita. Okay. And she's busy looking at serving. Why? But don't criticize her too much. You know, she's doing it for the Lord. She's doing it for the Lord. But her thinking is what? She's trying to put him in the place of the lesser. And she's trying to take the place of the better. What did Jesus say? Acts 20, Paul says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. The less is blessed by the better. And we are always trying to put God, let me, you know. No, God did not come to be served. If he wants to be served, the Lord will have stayed in heaven instead of coming to earth to be served by you and I. Think about that, beloved. Think about that for a while. If he really wants to be served, he would have stayed in heaven. Why come down to earth? We make lousy servers. He came not to be served. He came to serve you. Whoa! How that goes against the grain of religious Christianity. A lot of people still have this concept of God. And they can't understand grace because they don't understand this part of God. And what makes Jesus happy? When he's tired, someone comes, the Samaritan woman, and then he gave to her. And she takes from him again. And he asks her, the only time he asks is this, give me a drink. Not because he wanted to be served. Watch this. Then she says, you are a Jew, you talk to me. He just want to open up. Sometimes the best way to open up a conversation with someone who is antagonistic towards you is ask them for a favor. But notice, by the way, he never got the water from her. Just let you know. Was it water he wanted? No. But watch this. Right after she said that, he said to her, if you knew who it is that is talking to you, who it is that says to you, give me drink, you would ask him. If you knew, I did not come to be served by water. If you knew who it was that's talking to you, you would ask him and he'll give you living waters. And that's why when the disciples came after buying food from the market, right? They saw that they left him tired, but he was now reinvigorated. And they say, did someone give him food? My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And what's the will of him? A sinner came and took from Jesus. When you take from him, it's like you replenish him. It's like you reinvigorate him. The challenge God has is that very few people take from him. He wants you to receive and receive like a branch. Just receive and receive and receive. Can I have a good amen? Faith, people say, well, you have faith long enough, strong enough, faith will make the healing happen. Hey, this is not metaphysics. Faith is not, listen, faith is, I like this, faith is like a window. The window don't create the light. The light exists outside. But your window allows the light to come in. Your window don't create the light. Small window, small faith, little light. You cannot say, well, your small faith created small light. No, no, no. Your small faith didn't allow more light. Big window, big faith, a lot of light. But the window doesn't create the light. Are you with me so far? It's vital for us to understand that he wants to be the place of the better, to bless us. It delights him when he blesses us out of his inexhaustible supply. So, but Mary saw differently from Martha. Martha saw Jesus in his tiredness. Mary saw Jesus in his fullness. And yet infinite fullness to be drawn from, to be drunk from, to be received. So she sat at his feet. Culture-wise, she did wrong. The culture was bad. Whether it's China or Middle East, the culture is that a woman should go to the kitchen and prepare food for your guests. But she said, to all those that shout for women's rights, read this story. Jesus preferred her to sit down, not go to the kitchen. And you know what? She just sat and be occupied with his beauty and just drew in, just drink until the vessel became full. And that's why this Mary, a few other, there are quite a number of Marys. Some say six, some say seven. There are quite a number of Marys, okay? But this Mary of Bethany, the sister of Lazarus, she wasn't there on the resurrection morning. Do you realize that? Mary Magdalene was there. The other Marys was there. Mary, even the mother of Jesus. But Mary of Bethany wasn't there. And mind you, Mary Magdalene, Magdala, is far away in the north, her hometown. Yet she was there. Mary of Bethany is only a few miles from Jerusalem, on the other side of Mount of Olives. It's nearer for Mary of Bethany, but she wasn't there. You know why? Because she has soaked in His word. She has drunk His word. She's the only one who knew He's going to be resurrected. Hallelujah. A few chapters later, she's the one that anointed Jesus. Women came in the early morning, on resurrection morning, to anoint Jesus. They were too late. That's why when you do the one thing, you will end up doing the right thing at the right time. Amen. You will serve Him and serve Him well based on the leading of the Spirit. But have you had your one thing needful today? You're doing it on Sunday. Sunday is the best day, huh? You always sit down there and receive from Jesus. Not from me, from Jesus. Amen? You take from men, ugh, at the end of the day, I'm like, you know what I'm saying? All of us are the same. But you take from Jesus, it's as if the more you take, He loves it. You know, He came to be used. He came to be used. All the power. It's like, have you been to Bethsaida, where there's a small lane down there? All our young people have been there. And what we do is that we put them on either side of the street. And we think of street as street, broad street, you know, American kind of highway. But it's not. The street in Bethsaida and all the street of villages in Galilee, they're all very small. So you can put six people on either side. And I love it. Jesus walked through just like this. He touched all of them. And in front of Him are all the sick lying down and all that, and behind are all the people jumping. It's like, amen? And behind, in front are all flat on the ground, and behind they're all jumping. That's what we did. We did a video on that. It's like He came to be used. He loves it when someone comes. The Pharisees didn't want to take from Him. They felt he has need to learn from them. You know what? None received. I mean, none in the sense of generally speaking. We had one Nicodemus. We had later on Paul, of course, a Pharisee. Friend, can you just have this revelation that every day there's such a fullness, and we are so poor, right? We feel, you know, we're so poor. Poor of health. How about that? Poor of health. Many of you think prosperity is all about money. Can you stop thinking about money? Maybe you are the one thinking about money. It's your problem, no? Yeah. Prosperity is more than money. Prosperity is supply, abundance. Amen. And every day we are poor. Every day, I'm speaking in the natural, we are poor. And we come to Him, see Him coming to bless you. Someone asked me the question, if you take communion every day, in fact, my friend who got healed, my friend in Israel, Samuel Smadja, who got healed taking communion every day of a rare form of aggressive cancer that spread from the bladder to the prostate, or the prostate to the bladder, and the doctor says, even with medicine, 20% chances of recovery. Today I announce to you that he's completely free from cancer. Amen. He's healed. But I remember him asking me this question, Pastor Prince, I'm taking it every day, you know, but won't this become legalistic? Because he's a man of grace. He understands grace. So I said, not if you see Jesus coming to you with the bread and the wine every day. He's waiting for you in the living room. He's waiting for you in the bedroom. He's waiting for you wherever you meet Him, right? He's always see Him there waiting. Have you taken your portion for that day? Have you taken your daily bread? If you see Him coming to you, notice that Abraham didn't bring the bread and wine. It wasn't Abraham that brought the bread and wine. Now, we prepared the bread and wine, right? But it wasn't Abraham. Even you're preparing, see, like, I always tell Him, Lord, I see it like receiving from You, from Your hands. That makes the moment not legalistic, but a vital, solid interaction with the communion with the Lord. Amen. When Jesus died, the grace has been released on us. I want to show you this verse real quick and we'll close, okay? In closing, In closing. How many closers does he have, Martha? I don't know. All right? You reckon? His closing is like the mercy of God. Endure forever. Ain't it? All right. So let's go right now to... Let me see. There's so much to share, but let's look at heaven today and Revelations 1, okay? We've been looking at heaven throughout the sermon. We close with heaven. In Revelation 1, John, the beloved disciple, that's what he calls himself, the one who laid on Jesus' bosom, he had a vision. But remember this, he was planted on the Isle of Patmos. He was a prisoner, and yet he was enjoying heaven. You see, it doesn't matter your circumstance. If you are conscious of heaven, you are there. So I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. By the way, Sunday is the Lord's Day. All right? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, now he would have spoken Hebrew, I am Aleph and Taf, the first letter and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. In Greek, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. Remember, the voice was behind him. And being turned, I saw seven golden menorah, candlesticks. Now, I just want to submit to you, this is my personal opinion, okay? He was in the literal tabernacle of God in heaven. Remember, the tabernacle of Moses is designed after the pattern of heaven. See that you make all things according to the pattern. So he was, like, showing a picture of the holy place. Now, the Bible says he turned to look at the golden lampstand. Can you see the golden lampstand there? Okay, it is actually facing south. And if he turned behind to see the voice that spoke with him and he saw Jesus in the center shaft of the seven golden menorah, where was he facing originally? He was facing the table of showbread. Am I right? I believe he was partaking the Lord's Supper. On that island, he took a piece of bread that they would feed the, you know, whatever bread, even water. You don't have juice or whatever, you can use water. And he was doing communion. Or receiving communion. Then he heard a voice behind him. Go back to the portion again. Heard a voice behind him. And he turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Look at this. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, don't forget, Jesus always wants to be in the midst of your life. That's when everything works like the spoke of the wheel. The wheel will move and bring you to the place that you're supposed to go. Amen. You will meet your destination. You will find your destination. And you will travel so much better when the spoke is in the right place. Make sure Jesus is in the center. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps or the chest with a golden girdle. All right, I prefer the King James Version because it keeps the word girdle and girt together, and they are both from the same Greek word. Some new version put golden band. No, it's a golden girdle. A girdle is the equipment of a servant. A servant will always have a girdle, okay? And when you come into the house, the servant will wash your feet in those days with his girdle. So in heaven today, Jesus has a golden girdle. He still has that servant garb. Gold, albeit. Gold. Now he's glorified, but still a girdle. Which means what? He came to be served, but after he's glorified, went back to heaven, he's still a servant. And that's the reason why in the book of the servant who failed, writing about the servant who never failed, Mark denied Jesus in a sense that he turned away from Jesus in the mission field, all right? He failed in a bad way, amen? But God chose Mark, the servant who failed, to write about Jesus, the servant who never failed. And Mark's gospel is about the servant. That's why the symbol of Mark is an ox, the tireless laborer. Amen. And how does the gospel of Mark end? Every gospel ends differently. And there's a reason, according to the specific purpose of the gospel. Like Matthew is for the Jews, right? Go into all the world, telling the Jews. What a new thing for them. John, Jesus is God. And that's why, as God, he's still with us. And that's why the last chapter of John doesn't show his ascension. Even though he's resurrected, it still shows him on earth by the Lake of Galilee. As God, he's with us always. But in Mark, it says, And the disciples went everywhere, the Lord working with them. Even though in heaven, He's still working. They went everywhere, healing the sick, casting out demons. The Lord working with them. Just now, a little sampling we have of the Lord working. He still wants to, every day, He's a lot of bread. He says, would you come and take your children's bread? Will you come and take this bread of healing? Would you? And many of us, we are so busy trying to provide for ourselves. We are so busy with our human effort. We are so busy. That's why God sometimes has to disappoint you in those things. It's because He loves you. When there's such a rich supply available, sometimes He has to bring you, you know, experiences that are disappointing. At your efforts at holiness, you find that you end up doing something crazy. But you say that, I was trying my best. The other day I told myself, I want to really love my wife properly this week. I want to honor my boss. I want to, that colleague that rubs me the wrong way, I'll be very nice to him this week. And that was the worst week ever for all three involved. The more you try, why? But have you ever thought that it was God disappointing you at your attempts at holiness, with your efforts, so that you will see your need for Him? Say, Lord, I cannot, I don't even have love in my heart. I need your supply. So every time you come to Jesus, amen, and receive that supply. To be occupied with Him is to be satisfied. And to be satisfied is to be filled. And to be filled, you come to the place of overflowing. And all the people said,
amen.
Give Jesus the praise, the glory, and the honor. Amen. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed all across this place and everywhere that's watching this right now. Praise the name of Jesus. Just remember that when you leave this place, He's with you. And He always wants to serve. He always wants to. So I encourage you. I want to encourage you. Even in your ministry, see the supply and not the demand. See Him serving you. Come to Him to receive. Come to Him to receive. The more you receive, the more you are able to bear witness, powerful witness to the Lord Jesus and of the Lord Jesus. The more you come to Him, the more your service to Him becomes real, becomes service that's dynamic. So don't worry about all that, about service and all that. Mary ended up serving the Lord in a way that no other lady did. Friend, if you are here and you have never made Jesus your Savior and Lord, this wonderful Savior that I'm talking about died on that cross for your sins. And why did He die? He even came to serve you with acceptance with God. That's the greatest blessing that He came to give us. But for God to accept us and to give us Jesus as our righteousness, our right standing with Him, our sins must first be punished. And again, for that, He came to be, not to be served, but to serve. Instead of us serving Him with the servitude of our sins, Jesus served at the cross. He is the one who became liable to pay for all our sins. And He suffered completely God's judgment on Him. And at the end, He cried, finished. What is finished? All of God's wrath, righteous indignation for all our sins have been finished. The old covenant is fulfilled. The law is fulfilled. In fact, the law is magnified by His death. The enemy, the roaring accuser, is silenced and man is blessed. And we are in a better place than Adam was in paradise. We are in a better place than Adam was in the Garden of Eden. We are seated with Christ. If you want this to become real and actual in your life, friend, pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, what a gift. Your Son, Jesus Christ, I confessed Him. Jesus Christ is my Lord. And I thank You. Christ died for my sins. He was raised from the dead because all my sins have been put away. And you raised him from the dead. As a declaration, it's a complete work. It's a finished work. Thank you, Father. I'm now your child. You are my Father. I'm greatly blessed, highly favored, deeply loved. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lift your hands all across this place, everywhere that's watching this right now. Praise the Lord. This coming week, the Lord lavish his blessings on you. Amen. Would you receive it?
Yes.
Get ready. Every day, there is a daily bread. Not just bless now and then to last for a week or 2 weeks, but every day, get ready. The Bible says, blessed be the Lord God who daily loads us with benefits. So this week, every single day, be expecting to receive blessings from him. Amen. Even in your adversity, your trial, whatever you're going through, be expecting the blessing to overflow the adversity. Amen. Be expecting his favor to swallow up the shame. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. This coming week, the Lord lavish you with his blessings, and the Lord keep you, preserve you and your loved ones. He gives his angels charge over you. Be conscious of their presence around you and your children. Know and have the assurance they are more with us than with the enemy. Amen. And the Lord make his face shine on you and be favorable to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and grant to you and your loved ones his wonderful shalom, peace, well-being, and health. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. God bless you. We'll see you again.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
He that spared not his own son, how will he not with him also freely give us all things? That means both now and forever and ever, God will supply and supply and supply freely all things that you will ever need.
This month, get your copy of Believe in a God Who Freely Gives 4-CD audio series as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry. Join Joseph in this faith-building resource and discover why you can boldly receive what God has freely given to you through Jesus and his finished work at the cross. And for a specific gift to the ministry, you will also receive an exclusive gift set, which includes 2 customized scripture banners and Joseph's brand new DVD resource, How to Pray and See Results. Learn how you can pray effective prayers because of Jesus's finished work and begin to receive your breakthroughs.
Praying earnestly is actually a prayer of declaration. When you declare, for example, somebody has a problem with depression, then you say, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit of depression, loose that person and let his mind go free in the name of Jesus. You are declaring God is your solution.
Let your faith arise to boldly receive from God today. Get your copy now at josephprince.org. Or call us toll free at 877-901-4300.
I've suffered with rheumatoid arthritis since I was in my late 20s. I knew there was a spiritual side to the Lord's Supper, that it wasn't just a symbol. I really never thought about the physical aspect of that until I read Pastor Prince's teaching on that. After about a week and a half of taking the Lord's Supper, I woke up one morning and I had no swelling in my hands. And that was just miraculous for me. And as I began to have that morning after morning, I began to walk in that and just say, this has occurred. It is a healing. So, you know, now it's just, I walk in freedom. From this moment on, I walk pain-free in freedom. And I'm so thankful, so thankful. And I think the second half of my life is going to be so different from the first. And I love that.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.